These are my doors. Some people call them crib notes. Just clues. These are my doors. If you wanted to, if you really wanted to talk, you could take me some places where you've been, and you'd say, well, let's just go around the corner, and I'll show you where my dad had a store. Or you'd say, if we just drove this way about 280 miles, I could show you an apple tree I used to climb. Those are your doors. You shouldn't ignore them. You shouldn't really, I think, act as though they are less important than anything you're reading or anything that you're working with. That is also your reading matter. This helps you reflect. These are the things that help open meaning and your feelings about the things that you think. These are all doors. Some people think that doors are gimmicks. I don't at all. I suppose you could make it a gimmick. I don't know how I'd do that. I guess it would mean that it wouldn't be important to me, but I don't think that anything here is not important to me, or anyone, or Jane, whom I barely know. I think I know you from some other year. I never know if someone up here was here last week or last year. You know how that can kind of go into each other. I'd like to have you play something like what you were playing before. I don't know the tune, but I know the feeling. Not long ago, a friend of mine who makes movies told me about a person he met. And while we were eating pie, which he and I like to do a little too much, at least once a week we eat pie. And the pie is a door to very, very excited dreaming. When he and I eat pie, we do well. I don't know why. And something happened that was a door to a very good evening that he and I had. It was a hydrocephalic girl in a bed who had said something. And he remembered this. And it was a good word for us. And he told me the story, and I have it here in a little non-book called Festival of the Lamb. They went with all their high-powered cameras to film the institution. The people seemed so restricted. The spaces were small for filming. The electrical outlets had two prongs instead of three. The photographer fumbled through all the equipment for an adapter, mumbling, "Finally, I give up." A hydrocephalic girl in a bed nearby noticed and said, "Oh, mister, you can't give up. You always have to try and try again." So he was ushered past the project and the fumbling by her into the presence of all the people. And this girl is in the film. What he really wanted to tell me, this filmmaker, is what kind of a filmmaker he is. And he tried to tell me through the story of the hydrocephalic girl in a bed that he lets things like that come upon him. He takes them seriously, and she becomes the actress in the film. He doesn't bulldoze his way through the program, but he lets something blow across his path. He's not against spirit. He's not against wind. He's not against accident. He's not against providence. He's not against serendipity. He's not against breath. He's not against life. He watches it when he films. I'm sure you do too. I want to read another. When we had the American Lutheran Church Women's Convention not long ago in Minneapolis, a man and six people drove all the way from Iowa to say three sentences, and they were among us. And the reason they came up there is they have such great need of each other. What is a weakness for one is a strength for the other. So the weakness of one gives the other something to do, and they employ each other. That's like getting from room to room. There are doors between each other. One cannot reach her feet and put on her socks or take them off. Another can, and that's his job. He takes off her socks and he puts them on. He looks forward to doing it every day. Her need is his door, and his ability is a door to her. Doors are very important. I'd like some more door music. I will read an adorable story. Once there was a place where people met each day to take care of each other. They each had needs. Some needed the gifts of the blind, some the gifts of the deaf, and some needed the gifts of someone strong, and some needed the gifts of the bedfast. Some who were depressed looked for the glad, and some who had faith looked for some who were depressed. And those in love always looked for those who were afraid each day. And in this place, there were always those who were afraid each day. And it gave those who loved something to do. That is what they do each day. There is no time or need to do anything more but to take care of each other. Let us praise God with the waving of hands. Have you ever gone down Main Street and done that? Oh, sure. Or down an alley? Or across a field? Let us praise God with marking the sign of the cross in the sky. When son John left the other day to go to Japan, I didn't know which direction Japan was, or San Francisco, so I made a full circle and marked crosses in all directions. Let us praise God with a deep breath. These are all doors. That first breath and that last breath, those are the great doors. Walter Bowman said that beautifully for several weeks here this summer, many weeks. He said it eloquently in long lectures. I can't lecture, but I surely can hear what he says when he says, let us praise God with a deep breath. Just because it could be a thing you'd think about, why don't you imagine your very first breath that you ever took? And on the count of three, take it. One, two, three. On the count of four, your last. One, two, three, four. Did you notice anything? I've never done this. I thought we'd do some things that were different today, get into doors. What did you notice? I noticed something. I could make a little speech on it now. What did you notice about your first and your last breath? Oh, really? My. In her first breath, there was noise. In her last breath, it was so quiet. What else did you notice about your first and your last breath? Pardon? The last one was shorter. It kind of comes at the end of the piece. It doesn't say, continue, turn back to page 2. No. Well, it probably says something that we don't understand in terms of notes that says a new breath. But, yeah, it's shorter. What else did you notice? She noticed that the first one inhaled and the last one exhaled. And that's rather interesting. If you're very careful, you can notice that there are always things going on. There's always something going on. And these are the doors that I'm thinking about today. Some years ago, I found a beautiful rock. It's really a brick. And I meant to bring it, but these things get so heavy. It's a brick that I found in the ocean, not in the middle, just on the edge, called the shore, the shoreline. And I found this with a lot of ministers called chaplains. And I had them on a liturgical walk looking for material for worship. I found a marvelous word on a brick. It was spelled L-L-O, pronounced Lalo. There it was, Lalo. You can read about it in the scriptures, Lalo, the angel of the Lord. It's a stutter. It's not a clear word. I think that when you take a second look, that's called a stuttering look. Or if you're kind of speechless, there's another one. I don't know how you'd spell that one. If I found it on a brick, I might not recognize it. But Lalo, and I've had many people trying to steal this from me. It's a very unique brick. I've never seen another one like it. There must be others like it, but they've never been claimed. And that's such a marvelous word. I've seen it in the scriptures a lot, but when you see it on the brick just lying along the shore, it gets to you a little differently. It makes you think that in very ordinary times and places, you have a behold or oh, yeah, so. Those marvelous tiny words that you can all spell. They're not very complicated, and they're so strong. They are the doors that just give you a glimpse, and then life goes on. But you saw something, and you know something, and you remembered something, and you beheld something, and you were given something, and everything in you rearranged for a while, and maybe forever. And that's what doors do. Something else comes in and something else leaves, and it's not the same. And it's adorable. It's adorable. If you and I had the facility to be more thankful, maybe we'd even grin. Maybe we'd say something that's grateful. Doors lead to gratitude. Now, I'm just moving toward one person in particular. I want Jane to join me a little more and to play. That's nice. That's nice. In England a few years ago, Lois and I saw people who make shepherds, crooks, or canes. And the way they make them is that they take a whole tree and make it. I mean, that's some kind of a crook. And the stem, the shaft, that is the stem. And the crook is the root. And there are certain kinds of trees which shepherds look for and they watch. And when they see that there's a certain kind of tree and it has a certain kind of root, and it looks as though the root is growing about the width of the neck of the sheep, they wait and they hope no other shepherd will get it. And then when no one's looking, the tree gives up its life to be a shepherd's staff. They don't know about Elmer's glue. They just, you know, they don't know that you can glue them. They don't even know that you can bend them. They think that shepherd's crooks grow. I think that's a good story. Jesus, the shepherd, and the tree, when that all gets together. I mean, I can hook Elmer's glue into the whole thing. I have no trouble. But the fact that a shepherd's crook is a whole tree. Where do you get your energy? I mean, how do you make your association? And what material do you order that helps you think alongside things and let things cross over to each other? And where do you do that? And who helps you do that? And do you like to do that? Do you like to think of two things at once? Can you only think of one thing at once? And the other shepherd story, because I'm going toward a shepherd, the other shepherd story is about my friend Carl. Carl's a door. He's an 86-year-old door. And when you walk up to Carl, he opens almost a century. He's a door. Pretty shut. He lives in northern Minnesota. And some of us found him recently. And he's in a congregation. But Carl really, really wishes more people would say, "Carl," and ask him something. So we did ask Carl. We said, "Carl, did you ever have sheep?" "Sheep," he says, "102. He must have memorized. I mean, all his years he knows he had 102. "Carl, did you name them?" "Oh, yeah, I named some of them, but that wasn't so important as something else." Then he tells this marvelous story. And I think I can tell the story best if you join me in the story. And your joining me will be a door. Some call it drama. Every time I go like this, you over here go, "Bah," okay? Now see, that's a door. That's called bang. You seldom do that. Some of you have never been in a play. You've never been a sheep. So it opens up. It stirs some blushing. It gets you feeling embarrassed, made some of you happy. And over here, I'd like a 1936 Studebaker horn. "Ooga!" That's it. Say it once more. Now you're in it. See, now these are doors. Ministers and church councils do the same when they say, "You will now give each other a handshake." Those are doors. Now you have to face somebody, and or a hug. Or some Sunday they could say, those on the right will say, and those will say. Now that'll never happen. That'll never happen, but those are doors. Sometimes those open very hostile doors called, "I'm never coming back here again." Those are All doors down into some marvelous depths we have called our past and our childhood, when we went and people laughed and we said we'd never again, and we haven't until here at Holden we went, you do very well. If you would finally, you could have tryouts and then only have solos and eventually disqualify everyone else, as we sometimes do in singing, but when we do choirs, everybody can get in it, or those are, or let me hear you hum. See, there are things that everybody can do. Sometimes I think if I can't acolyte or sing, no one asks me to do an ooga, and no one asks me to do a ba, and or a hum. So there are things, and these are doors. People sometimes feel very happy when suddenly they can come to another meeting of the ba's. This is the story. This is also a true story. And you will watch me, and then you'll do it. And Carl said, I had 102 sheep. And I said, Carl, how did you get them all together? And he said, well, whenever I would look for them, they were out in the brush. And I didn't know how, you know, to get them. But then I learned how. I had a 1936 Studebaker. And every time I wanted the sheep to come, I'd go, and the sheep would come. If I went, so my friend came with his car, and he said, oh, I think I could do that. So he went on and leaned on the horn of his car, and there were no to be heard, because his horn did not have the voice of the. Now, there were some theologians standing around this man, Carl, who was 84 and didn't know he was a theologian. And they realized that they had heard a story something like this. It was in John 10. And that Jesus also knew in his day that it wasn't that the sheep would know their names, but that they would know his, that is, his voice. And then they would come. Just tell me for a moment, what are you understanding that I mean when I say doors? Tell me what you're hearing when I say that we have these doors by which the gospel keeps coming like new to us. What do you think these doors are? Touching is a door. Pardon? Broken down barriers are doors. Growth, growth. Playfulness, a door. Risk, is that a door? Joy is certainly a door. The first time doing something can be such a door. Yeah. Looking twice, listening twice to something, to see not only what you see, but what it is.
I'm telling you about my name. My name is Kresnan Ellie. Oh.
What does that remind you of?
Oh, huh.
What does that remind you of?
Madlina, Mom. Oh, well, let's get haven't rehearsed.
Have I ever been to your house?
Yeah.
Have I ever been to your home?
Yeah. Yes.
Have I been to your home?
Yeah.
Did I ever visit you?
Yes, you may visit me.
I may visit you. Where do you live?
I live in Ballard.
In Ballard.
But I was born in Kroger, Norway.
Would you like to have coffee with me sometime?
Yes, I sure would.
You and I could have coffee together. Yeah. Would you rather have tea?
No.
No.
I'm asking you. I'd rather have coffee.
You'd rather have coffee.
No.
Where did you get this?
I stole it. You see, I live at the North home,
and
somebody stole my father's cane. So I went in where they kept the canes.
Yes.
And I stole this.
Just once in a while, I will
well,
say...
Well, that wasn't wrong, was it?
No,
see, they stole mine, and I stole one in place.
Yes. You're never far from information. And canes are doors that open up stories. And when was this?
Oh, about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I went to the North home.
Yes,
I live there now.
If I came to visit you, would I ask for Ellie?
Yes, you ask for Ellie. Everybody calls me Ellie.
Do they call you, do you have just one name?
No, I have Ellie. I was christened Ellie Dagny Rustrup Olsen. Then I married, and I'm a Wick now. So I have all those names. Imagine a 3-pound baby christening them. And my godfather was a huge man. Imagine him holding a 3-pound baby in his armies. He was 6'4".
And you were 3 pounds?
Yes. And I lived.
Yes.
The doctor said to my mother.
Yes, you really have. Yes. You really have.
Now, my father, the doctor told my father, you live on the waterfront. You go down and get some salt water. And Marie, that was my mother, you bathe this little baby twice a day in this salt water. But warm at first.
Yes. Tell me, who was your godfather? What was his name?
Rustrup.
Rustrup.
Yeah, and he left me all my money, all his money.
He did.
But he had 2 sisters, and my father wouldn't let me collect. He says, you better give those to those poor sisters of his. Yeah. So I did as I was told. So I'm a poor. And they got wealthy.
Yes. There are so many doors. I mean, really, there are so many. Do you know other stories? Do you know many stories?
No.
You don't know many stories?
No.
Well, tell me, when you were 10 or 12 years old, what kind of games did you play, or did you have friends?
Oh, well, my godfather gave me a game, and I was a fish game where you fish the fish out of the... with hooks. That's the kind of games. My mother wouldn't let us have play cards.
No.
No. But we, no.
How old were you when you began to drink coffee?
Oh, I drank coffee in Norway. By teaspoonful.
Oh, I see. When you were very little.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we drank coffee out of a saucer. We thought that was a lot of fun. Mother had four girls, and I was next to the oldest, but I was the smallest of all of them.
Let me, I want to talk to them for a little while.
Okay.
Will you stay here? Just stay where you
okay.
are.
Yeah, okay. Right? I'll stay for it.
Yes. Sometimes a rocking chair, a rug, and a woman, and a guitar is all you need. If you're worried about a program sometime, you're very close, and you can chase yourself to pieces looking for doors and running up against walls, and you're right near someone. She knows stories about those fish games, drinking saucers. You know your own stories.
Yeah.
Did you have animals when you were little, like pets?
Let me tell a story. When I came from Norway to America.
Yes.
We were four girls, and the doctor on the ship fell in love with us. And he had Kate and I go with him delivering pills. We carry the pills, and so we gave. If we could give, I was 9 years old and Kate was 10. So we went out with the doctor, and he gave us the pills, and he let us put it in the mouth of these sick people. So we had a lot of fun coming.
No, I don't know what. Tell me more.
No. Well, we came to America on the Crabra, and the next trip she sunk. That's true. We made it safely. And if we'd have waited for the next trip to come to America, we'd have been down. But we were lucky enough to come on this ship called Crabra. And she sunk with all her people in it, that she ran into an iceberg and smashed.
Ellie, why do you need the cane?
Why? Because I have a steel hip. Smashed it. I was coming home from the Ballard Church from tea.
Is the Ballard Church in this direction?
Yes, over there. So I was with my husband. I had my umbrella up. It was pouring, raining. And I put this foot up on the curb, and it slid off, and put this hip on the curb. So I laid in pouring down rain till the ambulance got there. So finally it came.
Ambulance.
It doesn't bother me, but I have a beautiful scar.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Yes, my goodness. You're beautiful.
Oh, am I?
I think you, yes.
Oh, no.
Do you sing?
I can't carry a tune. But all of my family sang, but me. I can't sing at all. I sing in church when nobody can hear me. When all the others are singing, then I sing. I'm asking. I think Onset would kick me out of the church if he heard me sing.
we're going to sing a song.
Are you and I going to sing a song? Poor people.
Well, they can hum along. Tell me a song you know, and if I know it, we'll sing it together. Do you know a song that you think I know?
Ja, vi älskar detta land.
I
Ja, vi älskar detta land som det stiger fram Fugle vervet over landet med den tusen hjem. Ja, vi elsker det og tenker på vårt år. So that's all I know.
Beautiful.
Well, I want to sing you a song too.
Oh,
may
okay,
I?
Okay, you well, sing me a song.
I'll sing your song.
But don't sing me to sleep, will
no.
you?
I'll sing a song that I sang when I was a little boy, and it was in German. Yours was in Norwegian?
Oh, that reminds me.
You have a story?
Go ahead. You're saying
well, why song. Don't you tell your story while I hum my song? Would that be all right?
Yeah.
All right, you tell
I
the story.
I have another one.
All right, tell the story. Do you have a story or a song?
No, I remember something that happened when we joined a church in Chicago.
All right, why don't you tell them and I'll hum. All
okay.
Right? We'll do it. That way we'll probably save 5 minutes. Here we go. All right.
We came to the Lutheran Church in Logan Square in Chicago, and then we had to sing, and the pastor asked if I could sing. My sister Kate and I said, so we sang, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, Jesus Elsker Me. Yeah, yes, elsker mig for them Bibelsegen so. No, I'm not
great,
a singer.
Yeah,
now you asked me to sing, and I'm not a singer.
Well, I think you sing well. Now, just one more. Again, you're never, ever far. Never far. If you don't know where to ask or where the door is, look at what's before you. Who's your eye doctor? And
well, he's in Ballard.
Mm-hmm. Do you have good eyes or?
Oh no.
No.
I have good, real good eyes, but I can't read.
I see.
A book.
Yes.
So he made me these glasses, bifocals, so I didn't have to hunt for. You know, when you get old, you hunt. You lay your glasses down, and you can't find them. So
you're never far. You're never far from a door. Can you tell me about this?
I sent to Metropolitan Museum of Art for that. That's called a falcon.
I see. And you sent for that. It came in the mail.
Yes, it came.
How did you know you'd like it?
Well, I had a catalog from the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
And what do you do where you live? Do you...
Well, I live at the North Home, and we live a wonderful life there. We get up for breakfast, and I go down for breakfast at 8 o'clock. I take my shower before I go down. Oh, I never know... Every Wednesday, I go up in the infirmary and tell stories to those poor sick people. Mm-hmm. And that's my job at the nurse home, tell stories. And sometimes they are not true.
I'm going to read you a story. And thank you very much, Ellie, and I'll help you. Back. Isn't she beautiful, huh? Never far. Never far from true stories. Even true stories that say I don't always tell true stories. Never far. It's true that we're very physical. We have an exterior and we have an interior. And one way to the interior is through the exterior. All these things have meaning. They don't have the same meaning to me as they have to you. These are doors. It's very important to learn to ask that a door is opened, not breaking them down, but just to knock, that they can be opened. I want to read about Benji. Dave, very soft piano music. Very soft. Very, very soft. Because it's a soft story. Little slow. And kind of childlike. In Billings, Montana, not long ago. He's a door to me. Jane is a door to me. You are doors. You probably don't need to... Well, maybe you do need to know that. He's not just accompanying me. He's babysitting me. He's giving me some space. He's taking care of calling up some inside information. If I wouldn't have music, a pumpkin would help, a log of wood, an aroma. These are all very physical, necessary for life and for recollection. They help make wholeness. A lot of our learning in the church and a lot of our worship in the church, these aren't around. And I look for them. That's why I look out of windows a lot when I worship, if there's a window. And that's why I often bring things in with me. And that's why I took Jim Snowballs to room 501 while he was dying. Because he was a carpenter and he couldn't stand the cement. And that's why I would sneak in wood and he would hold the wood while we prayed. And that's why I brought a birdhouse in, because he makes things and made things. And when we were, Lois and I were in Billings, and our job, since I freelance, and our jobs can be anywhere from a day to well, this was a 6-week job. It was the longest job I've had for 8 years. I noticed that the altar flowers were very tiny. And my first thought was that the people who gave them were poor. I did not realize that they had given them in honor of a boy who had died when he was 2. And they gave tiny flowers for a tiny Benji. But I was curious, and I just didn't dismiss it. I just kept asking till finally I found out that the little flowers were for a little boy who had been dead just a little while. And I did not know it until that next day, when I found it out in the home of the grandparents, where Lois and I were eating breakfast. And as we were talking, all of a sudden they talked about Benji. I said, the one in the bulletin? They said, yes, our grandson. And the grandfather had showed us the fishing rod that he had not caught fish with this weekend before. And the grandmother gave us each an apple off an apple tree in the backyard that Benji wouldn't climb. And Grandpa was a storyteller. And he would not be able to teach Benji stories. And I could tell that those were the things that still grieved them, that he wouldn't climb trees and that he wouldn't do these things. And so I wrote to honor them and to meet them in their grief. And when I read this, I read it before the entire congregation, and everybody cried. Because I know this grief, because my brother did this to us when we were little. He also died. So I met my brother in 1935. And I always cried when they threw Joseph in the well when I was little, and my father would read these stories to me. Because I thought that would be very lonesome, to be alone in the well when your own brothers had put you there. And I don't care if it's an Old Testament story, 1935, or 2 years ago in Billings, Montana, or seeing that some of you in this room right now know exactly the pain of this. It's the same, and we're together. It's a universal Catholic story. I wrote it now so it can receive a tune. It is getting a tune in Columbus, Ohio. And when it gets a tune, it goes to Billings, Montana, and this congregation will hear it sung. And these are the words. Bye, Benji boy. You've been away a long, long time. I miss your riddles and your rhyme. Benji boy, Benji boy, when will you come down the road with agate rock and sleepy toad to bring surprise into my eyes? You've been away a long, long time. Benji, Benji boy, I miss your riddles and your rhyme. Bye, Benji boy. Your fishing pole is very cold. The apple tree is growing old. Benji boy, Benji boy, who will climb the apple tree to shake down the fruit to me, to bring surprise into my eyes? Your fishing pole is very cold. Benji, Benji boy, the apple tree is growing old. Did that in Great Falls, Montana, and I came home to Billings, and I thought that you don't end a poem there. And I let my mind run all through scriptures, and I knew that in the book of Revelation, there's a river that runs right down Main Street, and if it's a good river, I'm sure it's got fish. And also there are trees on each side for Benji boys. And I picked it up again. Hi, Benji boy. Your treehouse reaches very high into a mansion in the sky. Benji boy, Benji boy, there is a crown upon your head. You are alive. We are dead. And such surprise inside your eyes. Your treehouse reaches very high. Benji, Benji boy, into a mansion in the sky. Hi, Benji boy. A river runs right through your town. The apple trees wave up and down. Benji boy, Benji boy, a wind is blowing on your face, and glory shines around the place, and such surprise inside your eyes, a river runs right through your town. Benji, Benji boy, the apple trees wave up and down. Benji boy, Benji boy, the apple trees wave up and down. And so now, those two little pots of flowers have committed me. They're like a door. And I entered into the family of Benji Boy, and they're waiting for the song. It's a kind of commitment. I could have not done it. And you can't go through all the doors there are, but you're never far from a door. There's always someone who's got a cane that she stole or whittled or ordered something through a catalog and can't see as she used to and can remember what she did when she was nine and can still sing some songs and knows how to drink coffee out of a saucer. What else is there? Jesus said, if you want to get to each other, don't forget a coat. Or don't forget to knock on a door. And don't forget to call somebody up and ask them if you could have a donut with them, a little bread. And I just thought of this now. I brought it, but I didn't know how I would use it. Just keep going, Dave. One of the nice jobs that I have also is the National Office of the Lutheran Church in Minneapolis has asked me to go to three towns and just to see what's going on. I spend 10 days in each town and they send me as a visitor. And so I come to this congregation and they say, what do you want? And I say, I'm a visitor. And they said, what do you cost? And I say, I'm free. I'm a gift to you. Oh, you! I say, yeah, I am the church's gift to you. And they say, well, maybe we don't want this gift. I said, well, we'll have to unwrap it and see what it is. And that's where I go from here to southern Texas around McAllen, where I'll be with a congregation for 10 days as a visitor and a gift. Well, one of the towns in North Dakota named Forman, North Dakota, what I like among many other things about this town is that there are people who meet every week and they sow these. They make these. Do you do this in your home where you live? In the congregation? Well, then I think that could you help Ellie come back? Just help her. Yes, help her come up to me here. Yes. In Forman, they said, I said, could I help? I said, could I help making these quilts? And they said, sure. And then one woman said, In Forman, North Dakota, one woman said, don't make them too thick. And I said, what do you mean, make them too thick? She said, if they get wet, you know, they don't dry out, because these are homes for people in other parts of the world. We're sending these away. These are going to be little houses for people. That's what she was thinking. She was making someone a house. And so I said, no, I won't make them very thick. I really didn't do very much on them anyway. But this one isn't done. So I think you can still see the pins, see? It needs to be sewed. I think I want to give it to you, Ellie, to take to Ballard, and you can get some help. Yes, we'll get a kit. Can we do that? Yeah, we'll get some help and see.
I wouldn't dare to say no without the pastor's wife.
Now, just stand still, Ellie. I want you, just let me show you this.
That's beautiful.
Yes, it is. It is. It's just really.
Get the women to work on it.
Well, some men, too. Some men can help. Just hold still.
You're going to stick me.
No. No. I hope not. I hope not. See? See, this is what they mean, that this is going to be a little house, huh? And when you're done with it in Ballard, you can send it to Forman, or you can write the congregation in Forman, because they know that I took it to Holden. It's been to the National Convention of Women, where some worked on it.
It will keep them warm.
It will keep them warm. Isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? And now it may be that in Forman, they will hear about Ballard, and two congregations will fall in love with each other. And wouldn't that be something? And the door between two congregations will be opened by a quilt. By a quilt. And a woman with a stolen cane.
Could I tell them how old I'll be in March the 2nd? I'll be 85 March the 2nd.
The story is going on now. I just don't want to take this off of you, but your pastor can help you. He understands. These are chasubles. He can help you. Yes. In the church, what she's wearing is called a chasuble. Ministers wear chasubles. They're called little cloth houses. Mostly, doors are on houses. It means make yourself at home. You're going to be in this world for a little while. Why don't you make yourself at home? And why don't you meet the people more? And why don't you ask them about the things they're wearing and their glasses? And do you like that buckle on your belt? You're never far from a door.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the ordinariness of life. That through your Son Jesus, you pointed us really to the necessities. You told us that where eating and drinking takes place, that's where everything is going on. And where there's deep need, and where there's fear, and where there's death, and where there's new life, and where there are seasons, and when there is wind, and sun and rain, and seed and harvest, and where there are stones and where there are fish, and where there are churning waves in the sea, whether in this sea or in Galilee, you have told us through your Son that we're in the middle of everything. Help us not be so bored. Help us see the doors that lead to thankfulness and adoration through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our door, our adoration. Amen. Thank you for taking this time to be with us very much.